your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to the Alchemy Podcast, where we're on a quest to explore the intersection of cannabis, compliance, and creative in the marketing world today and beyond.
Welcome back to another episode of Alchemy. Excited to have Ben Witte with me today. Ben is the founder and CEO of Recess, which is a consumer wellness and lifestyle brand creating products and experiences designed to help people feel calm. Ben also serves as executive vice president of the U.S. Hemp Roundtable, which is primarily an industry coalition pushing the hemp and CBD industry forward. Ben, it's so awesome to have you on the show, man.
Thank you. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So I think, Ben, you guys have probably been very busy through the course of the pandemic because people have not felt calm. So I'm sure sales have probably been on the uptick for you guys.
Yeah, that's right, actually.
Awesome. So, you know, I think would love to just kind of dive in a little bit. I love your background because it's kind of very similar to mine. We come from a similar world, you know, in the digital agency advertising world. And I always have a lot of very interesting people on the show that, you know, started off in one place but wound up in another. And I thought it'd be, you know, just kind of a great intro of like how you actually got involved in launching this brand from what you were doing before.
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, I grew up in Southern California and I was a surfer and I'd say a creative in high school. I was really into kind of art and design and making movies in particular. And that's what I thought I was going to kind of study and perhaps kind of pursue with my career. But I ultimately ended up going to college in Boston at Boston University and ultimately ended up studying undergraduate business instead of film, which I probably ultimately regret in retrospect, even though I think it led me, you know, ended up in the right place. But and I was never really the best school person, I guess you can say. But look, I'm 32 and I graduated college in 2010, right when the kind of the San Francisco Silicon Valley startup scene was, you know, really starting to take off. And I'm a pretty I think I'm an entrepreneur at heart. And so I was attracted to, you know, what was happening in San Francisco at the time. And so I ultimately decided, you know, I wanted to move to San Francisco and join a startup. I ended up joining a 3-person startup in 2010 called True Anthem that you wouldn't have heard of, but you would appreciate given your background. We were building an influencer marketing platform in social media in 2010. And it was kind of one of these things that was like directionally the right idea, perhaps a little early with just not the right execution. But, you know, we saw that, you know, the way like, you know, that brands would have to, you know, build themselves in a social media driven world. And that the way to do that was to kind of develop campaigns that generated earned media. And so we set out to build both technology as well as an agency kind of model to set up these campaigns where we would, we were primarily focused on the auto industry, actually, and we'd partner with kind of emerging artists whose fan bases match the target demographic of the client. And we created this kind of social media widget and then a set of analytics that would identify, you know, influential people in a viral campaign. And so it was this idea that was, I think, a little ahead of its time. But it was very, it's important for me because, I got to, you know, from the earliest days of social media, I got to think about how brands would build themselves in a social media driven world. And that has translated into how we've thought about Recess. From there, I joined another ad tech startup called AdRoll, and I was there for 4 or 5 years, I think. And I was from 15 people to 500 people, had a bunch of interesting, roles in the company and ended up being kind of leading our mobile strategy and our push into mobile. Ultimately decided that, I was an entrepreneur at heart and I wanted to go out on my own and that, you know, I wasn't the best person on the planet to build, you know, software for businesses, even though that's where I'd been working on. I kind of just ended up there kind of by accident a little bit. And that my strengths and passions were better suited for consumer experiences of some kind. And so literally just quit my job and set out on my own. And explored an initial idea before Recess, which was actually a hotel concept. It was like Soho House meets a high-end hostel targeted at the WeWork crowd that I ultimately didn't pursue because I just concluded it was like too capital intensive and just a really hard first startup to do, really. Even though, again, I think it was directionally right, like in terms of like the space that was forming, but I'm glad I didn't pursue it. And then, you know, look, about 3 years ago, long story short, I was continuing to search for an idea to start, and I had seen CBD oil bubbling up on the periphery in natural food stores. And I started to use it myself because I've always been a pretty wired, hyper, kind of stressed out and anxious guy, I'd say, just naturally. And when I started to initially use CBD and then other functional ingredients like adaptogens, I felt better. I felt more calm, more balanced. And as a result, I felt more productive, more creative, and less stressed out and anxious. And I just had a number of insights, you know, from the experience. The first being, I'm not the only one that feels this way. That stress and anxiety were already kind of skyrocketing as a result of this transformational period that we're living in. We're clearly living, entering kind of a new phase of humanity and society. And as a result of, you know, technology and social media and all the second and third order consequences of that, we as humans, I think, are not equipped to really deal with the world around us. And that became like, that idea became one of our taglines, an antidote to modern times. Modern times kind of representing, you know, this stressful period. You know, the second insight was around CBD, which is effectively the user experience of putting oil that tastes like grass under your tongue is not a great one. And that the way to think about CBD as a compound, you know, no more interesting than caffeine or protein or vitamin C, just a commoditized functional ingredient that would ultimately serve as the base of the next big category in CPG, both beverages, supplements, and food, among other things, focused on relaxation, right? And that, you know, if you think about in the CPG industry, you know, the big brands are built by introducing new platforms, new categories and new platforms. And new categories are created as a reflection of like trends happening in society, right? So like you can look at alt meat and alt dairy, Beyond Meat, Impossible Foods, Oatly, et cetera, as really like a reflection of like environmentalism, the rise of that idea over the past 10 years, like wellness sparkling water and hard seltzers, really like a wellness idea. Like I want to have a soda, but with, you know, the carbonation without the calories and the sugar, right? You know, energy drinks, the rise of energy drinks and coffee over the past 20 years was really this like kind of growth at all costs zeitgeist, right? Like, you know, globalization, build. And I really think that the next 20 years and beyond that is really about dealing with the world around us, right? And that ultimately my thesis is that CBD is effectively the caffeine of the 21st century. And that I wanted to go build Red Bull, right? And if you believe that CBD is potentially like a compound that can be as, you know, widespread as that, then like who are the biggest caffeine companies? It's Red Bull, it's Monster, it's Coca-Cola, it's Starbucks, and none of them market caffeine. They market how it makes you feel. We don't call the energy drink category the caffeine category. We call it the energy category because it's about the feeling that the compound enables. And so that idea led so much to like our brand strategy, which is I've rejected the premise that this is a CBD category forming. Right. And that ultimately it's about what the compound enables and like what it represents is happening in society. When I came up with the idea, I didn't know a single person that ever worked in the CPG industry or cannabis industry for that matter. And I'd never even crossed my mind to look at the space. But what I observed is that beverage brands become the big beverage brands are some of the biggest brands in the entire world. And the reason that is because beverages have a couple unique attributes amongst them. The first is that the best brands like really market an emotion and a feeling and are able to like connect deeply like with consumers, right? you know, Red Bull gives you wings. You know, Corona's about sitting on the beach drinking a Corona, right? And you can go, Coca-Cola's about, you know, happiness and, you know, Americana, so to speak, right? And, you know, the second thing about beverages is there's no other product on the planet that's as high a frequency of use and purchase as a beverage, right? People that drink Starbucks or Red Bull or LaCroix tend to drink it like multiple times per week, right? And that's a very different...
Multiple times per day.
Right? Or, yeah, exactly. And there's no other product that gets as much distribution as a beverage. There's no other product that's in many shelves and doors as a beverage. And so as a result of those three things, I look at like Red Bull and Gatorade and Monster all the way down the line is effectively media companies that monetize through selling cans. Like if you think about it, like Red Bull and Monster and Gatorade, they have talent, they have production. Red Bull has its own distribution, you know, like content distribution channels, right? And the reason that is because when a product is that high frequency of use and purchase and has that much distribution, it's all about creating a massive amount of awareness and staying top of mind, right? And so the insight I had was that basically the playbook that the recent successful beverage brands, enduring and major successful beverage brands have ran, and you know, most recently White Claw, is completely outdated and is not going to work anymore. And that basically in the past, brands were built on the shelf and exclusively at retail. And today they're built on your phone, and that would fundamentally change everything. And I'm specifically talking about like brand building, like distribution will be, of course, like, you know, a large majority of it will, you know, happen at retail, but it's going to be less, right? It's going to be more omnichannel than it was, you know, in the future. And I think that's like very underappreciated, like the implications of that. Like I like to say is that like essentially big CPG has viewed digital as purely an opportunity to sell incremental cases through Amazon. And it's completely ignored all of the other opportunities that it presents. And so that led to a lot of our strategy, which is I really view Recess as like the first true digitally native beverage brand. And then, you know, the fourth key insight was around the regulation. And, you know, at the time, CBD was still a controlled substance. And I'm like, I'm not going to start a business selling a controlled substance. And definitely, like, there's got to be a light at the end of the tunnel. But I'd heard about, when I started to think about this, I'd heard about a piece of legislation called the Hemp Farming Act, which was being introduced by Mitch McConnell. I'm like, why is Mitch McConnell introducing a bill around hemp and CBD? And it's like, ultimately, because Kentucky was the first state to implement a hemp cultivation pilot program. Mitch McConnell saw what it did for farmers in his state that used to grow corn, soybeans, tobacco, et cetera. And it was a much easier to grow crop, much higher yielding. And he saw the potential that it had for, frankly, like red state farmers, and introduced this bill. And I'm like, if Mitch McConnell wants this to happen, it's probably going to happen. And if farmers are able to grow hemp, then those farmers are ultimately going to want to sell CBD to Coca-Cola. Right. And so I'm going to basically the business plan of Recess initially is to basically navigate the period of regulatory uncertainty to arrive at the other side as the category defining and leading brand and the default first choice for a retailer or distributor building out this category. And those were like the four things I looked at. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna go, you know, that took a period of months. Right. But that was what I saw. And I'm like, my goal is to go build the Red Bull of CBD, basically. And I was kind of off to the races, but that's kind of how I looked at the opportunity.
No, that's amazing. An amazing story. And I think, you know, so far you guys have done a pretty kick-ass job. You know, one thing that I really wanted to talk to you today about was too, you know, around, you know, creative, around branding, around how you guys really represent, you know, the actual, how you actually represent Recess from like a color palette perspective. Like mm-hmm. You know, when I see your beverage in the stores, you guys have this very almost, I'd say calming, right? I mean, you guys, mm-hmm. that's, I think you guys nailed it with what you're trying to do, but the different varieties, you know, the different flavors and the very calm colors, I feel work really well with what you guys are pushing out there and with good reason. So I'm curious how you guys actually, you know, arrived on this approach. Like, what was it when you were thinking, like, hey, I want people to really see this and feel relaxed and this, and it tastes good and it's going to make their lives better? Like, what were you thinking when you guys came up with this?
I think first off, before we can get to the colors, I think what I realized was, like, we had to introduce a new use case in people's lives. People weren't walking into a grocery store or any retail store looking for beverages that help them relax, right? And so I think Mark just slapping CBD on the label is not enough. That's not really introducing a new idea. Right? That's introducing a new ingredient, but, like, no one knows what that, how it's supposed to make them feel or when they're supposed to use it. Right. And so we had to, like, first off, like, define the use case, like taking a recess, right? We had to define the feeling we want people to feel or think it should help them feel calm, cool, collected, not tired, not wired. It's how you wish that 2 o'clock coffee made you feel. Right. I actually think the secret to recess is our messaging and our copy and our brand voice, more so than even the colors, which are very important. But it was, like, really this idea of the fact that, like, we canned a feeling, like, that was, like, our, like, that's, it was, like, our, one of our key, we have a lot of, like, key lines, but that's one of them. And we had to, like, define, you know, this feeling. And, you know, it's actually worth talking about. It's like, stress and anxiety is a story we tell ourselves in our head, right? Which is actually very different than, like, when you want energy from caffeine, either in coffee or energy drinks, you feel that caffeine immediately, right? And I've always viewed the subtlety of CBD as a benefit, a huge benefit, not a weakness, right? Because it's actually increases the number of usage occasions that we can play in. When you think about it, like, your total addressable market for a CPG product as a function of what are the times of day someone, you know, might consume your brand. People don't drink alcohol in the morning. People don't drink energy drinks at night. People drink recess all day. And what are the points of distribution it makes sense to be sold in? Again, and because there's so many use cases, there's so many points of distribution that we work in. We work in, you know, the up and down the street bodega, you know, in New York, liquor stores and gas stations in LA, as well as on premise, right? Where it's sold for, you know, $10 a can at the roof of the Waldorf Astoria, Beverly Hills, right? As a substitute for alcohol, and, you know, everywhere in between, the yoga studio where you discovered it. And there's just not that many brands that work in that many places. And I think that's because, like, we've really defined this kind of abstract feeling of calm, right? Versus trying to position it exclusively as, like, something you would drink before bed or, like, something you know, it's not positioned as something that's going to use stoned or anything like that, right? And so we've really kind of created this brand that allows a consumer to, like, use it for whatever their purpose is and whatever their intention is, right? And so that was a little bit of the initial brand strategy. And then, you know, with our launch, we did a direct-to-consumer only launch primarily for a couple of reasons. One, it was, you know, me and my COO, Simon, at the time, and kind of was based in my apartment. But two is, like, we had to, you know, if you, like, believe what I believe, which is, like, we had to introduce this new idea into the world, right, of taking a recess. And the best way to do that was, like, digitally, and that we had to tell this story and create the story. And so we wanted to kind of create the buzz and leverage online in order to go offline. And so our launch strategy was basically just one Instagram post a day that I can kind of think about the strategy, and then just generate a lot of earned media, like word of mouth and press. We still spend very, very little money on paid marketing, and we didn't even start that until, like, the spring. We created all of this awareness and buzz through exclusively owned experiences and content.
Ben, I feel like all of the content that you guys create when it comes to social, it's like, again, you're literally injecting all of your, like, you know, colors. Mm-hmm. But you guys also do some really cool shit. Like, you know, some of the creative that I've seen, you know, in the last couple months are like, I mean, are you guys creating this, or is this, you're taking maybe a playbook from your influencer marketing days and you're having your consumers create it, or, like, what's the strategy there?
Yeah, I mean, we're creating it, and then with our an agency which is now an agency partner. It was like two freelancers when we started. I look at our Instagram strategy as like, what do we want someone to feel when they take a recess? We want them to feel thoughtful, clever, creative, inspired, introspective. And so we have to create content every day that conveys that idea, right? And so I look at how I describe our strategy as it's a social commentary on the millennial existence,
right?
And it's kind of poking fun at millennial culture and like the stress and anxiety that we have which is very much like a story we tell ourselves in our head. Like we convince ourselves we're stressed, right? In large part, not like entirely, but I think a lot of it is. And so we actually have to like put in an alternate story, right? And I think one of the best ways to talk about, you know, serious issues is actually through humor and this like tongue-in-cheek brand voice we've created. I think brand voice is probably the most underappreciated component of marketing, like by a wide margin. And when you have a strong brand voice, it's incredibly scalable. I also think a brand voice is a prerequisite for quote unquote, like becoming a media company. I look at like one of my favorite companies is like Barstool Sports. Like I think just as an interesting business, like what is Barstool Sports is literally probably the next big media empire in the world built on top of Dave Portnoy's singular brand voice, right? And it's like he had a way of speaking about the world, a set of issues that he spoke about, a community that he's speaking to. And that's incredibly scalable. And you can see how that extends, right? And I look at, you know, that over the past 2 years at Recess, we've been really focused on initially establishing this brand voice and establishing this kind of use case and defining the feeling and kind of talking about that, conveying that indirectly in a number of ways. You don't see Recess say Recess helps you relax or CBD reduces anxiety, like frankly, most other brands do in the space. We're talking about the feeling and the issues like indirectly. And, you know, it's the other thing is, you know, my strategy was just like Red Bull focused on the action sports community and Gatorade focused on professional athletics. We're focused on creatives. So we want to do what they, you know, similar to what they did, but focused on the creative class. So right now I'd say we're almost just speaking to designers, right? And we're going to go big into music. We'll go big into fashion, art, internet culture. Like there's so many different communities that we can bring this idea to and activate in various ways. So I really think of what we're doing as like, it's like a new type of brand. Because I don't think there's a lot of comps to it, actually. In terms of, if you look at our Instagram, like, there's literally no reference, like, zero. It's really, I think, something new. And I think it's because of these, like, unique factors that we had, right? Again, beverages lead to, make sense for content marketing, makes sense for beverages a lot. We're marketing this feeling, and that we're able to, you know, use this content to convey. We're marketing to creatives. And so as a result of marketing to creatives, like our strategy is to connect with creatives, create yourself, right? And we just can create anything. I mean, we created a cloud popping game with Poolside FM, press play to pauseyourthoughts.com. We just did we created a CBD dog treat with a collaboration with Maxbone. And so our strategy is to kind of, we've laid this like marketing platform and we've created this like marketing engine almost, so to speak, that we now want to like run these kind of holistic marketing programs on top of that are, you know, in collaboration with another brand or creative that have like merchandise at the center of them that generate a lot of earned media, et cetera. And that leverage like our platform, right? And I like to think of it as like, we have this like beautiful flywheel, right? Dynamic to our business. And you know, it's actually the thinking of, you know, Reality Wear, which is like our clothing line, is, you know, it serves a couple of purposes. I think it helps bring the brand to life. It gives us something like tangible that we can create that you can kind of hold and feel. Again, I actually don't think consumers just, they want to connect with brands that represent something bigger than just a single product. I think it's one of the biggest trends happening in consumer, actually. And then I also had this idea of, like, I call it marketing that makes money, right? If you can monetize your marketing efforts, well, you can do that infinitely, potentially, right? And so, like, we have this strategy where we generate a lot of earned media, and we've created a platform, like a system that's going to continue to compound on itself. And our vision is to actually monetize other parts of the brand, right? So we have this, like, very sustainable marketing engine, right? So ultimately, like, my strategy is, like, ultimately we're going to be competing against Coke and Pepsi and Anheuser-Busch and all that. So, like, compete on dimensions others can't compete with you on. Like, that's one of my core business philosophies.
Yeah. So I was actually, that was kind of a good segue. I was going to really ask you about, you know, the market right now. It's like the entire space is starting to get more comfortable, not just with CBD that's been going on for the last, you know, year or so, but the cannabis space in particular. You have, like, you know, a lot of these stigmas are starting to disappear. You have states that have deemed cannabis essential. And so as we're kind of moving into this new era, again, heightened with the pandemic, everyone's anxious and trying to figure out, what can I take for holistic healing and, you know, all that good stuff. And they're, like, just the last couple of weeks, there's even some large beverage companies like Pabst Blue Ribbon getting into the THC game, where they just launched a THC beverage. You know, you guys have been around now for a couple of years, and, you know, kind of people are starting to really know you, and you guys have done a great job on awareness. What do you think the future holds as there's more and more, you know, companies launching CBD infused beverages and creams and tons of different products?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think this, again, I the first thing I'd say is I don't view this as the CBD category. I think I look at it as the relaxation category, and there's actually a bunch of different components to it across different categories that we can play into. If you think about the brand that we've architected, I think it's very extendable into other areas that you will see soon.
Ben, I would say when I first saw your product, I will say I had no idea there was any hemp in it at all.
So, but look, there's obviously been a lot, you know, it's been a, you know, we architected, I was very aware of the dynamics of the category. And the challenges that the challenges and I would argue the opportunity that the regulatory presented, because again, it's like given us this window to go establish ourselves as the leading brand before the big guys come in. And frankly, the big guys' track records of creating new brands is abysmal. Like, there is not a good example of, like, one they've actually created internal. I mean, Pepsi did Bubbly recently. Like, that's probably the best recent one. But there's probably been hundreds of CBD beverage brands that have launched, right? And no one's really broken through, right? You know, I think we have something like 75% market share in New York in the category, right? So, I was very aware of that. And so I became extremely engaged on the regulatory. Like, we just got a bill. We were the primary, you know, reason a bill just got passed in New York that fully legalized CBD beverages starting January 1st, up to 25 milligrams. Like, very engaged with the round table. We're, you know, active in DC. And so, you know, I think the thing I believe was that in a category creation dynamic in beverage, nothing else matters really except winning and becoming one of the top three brands that emerge, right? Look at what happened in hard seltzer. Recently, like, that category was effectively non-existent 5 years ago, and now it's worth like $3 billion. And White Claw and Truly have like 80% market share amongst them. And even though every single major alcohol brand has launched a hard seltzer, it hasn't even slowed them down at all. Like, it hasn't even touched their market share. It's just growing in the category, right? So, like, what I saw was, like, this situation's an anomaly. Like, it's unprecedented, like, what it is, because you've never had a category that I think can become as big as this one, right? Like, but since energy drinks, really, like, there's not that many value propositions that are, like, truly universal. Like, every person on the planet needs energy, like, you know, through stimulants of some kind, primarily caffeine, which is in coffee and energy drinks. If you think about, like, the economic value built on top of the idea of stimulation, it's, you know, pretty significant. And then you have, like, intoxication, which is, like, also somewhat of a universal idea. And I think this idea of relaxation is like, which sits in the middle of both of those, is like a big idea. And that I wanted to be basically, I saw it was important to basically, architect a business plan that recognized that, right? And to basically invest off into establishing ourselves as that leading brand. And it's all about becoming the default first choice for a retailer distributor building out the category, right? Like, you know, when people talk about hard seltzer, they're basically just talking about White Claw, right? When everyone's talking about a competitor, it's in reference to White Claw, right? Yeah. And so, you know, we've done that and we've been very patient to, when we're entering new regions, like we won't even enter a region unless we're partnering with the best distributor in that market. And so, like, and so, you know, we've aligned ourselves, you know, with the top distributor in New York. We just signed with a massive distributor in the Pacific Northwest. We're, you know, in LA with a Miller Coors distributor. We're in Chicago with a Budweiser distributor. And so, you know, we'd rather be patient because your distributor and your partners really matter in this space, you know, on the retail front. And, you know, we have a very, you know, strong D2C business and a very strong set of unit economics that allow us to scale. And the very simple reason is it costs the same amount of money to ship a Recess as a LaCroix, and a Recess is $5 and a LaCroix is 50 cents and they weigh the same thing. So there's a reason that big, you know, most beverage brands haven't really invested in D2C. That's one of them. Also, it's just not their core capability. But I think what we have is this like really strong business model, actually, with this like, you know, a marketing engine, like a set of like distribution partners and a D2C channel that we can now go like throw gas on the fire, so to speak. You know, that's, you know, that's the vision. I look at next year as like the major inflection point for our business. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've done a very good job of establishing ourselves. And I think we have a chance of being successful. I don't even consider ourselves successful, you know, but I think we got a shot. It's going to be interesting how it plays out.
Yeah, Ben, I do think, though, like, you know, of the times that I bought the products and kind of stacked my fridges with it, you know, for guests, like there is a very much a surprise and delight aspect when people mm-hmm. try it. I got a few people, they're like, oh, I've heard of Recess before, but I've never tried it. This is really good. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, once you get someone to try it through a friend or wherever, it's like, then they become, you know, consumers, which I think is a nice way of discovering a new product. But, you know, I think we don't have a lot of time left on today, but I did have one question for you just because I saw the stat and I was like, wow, that's very interesting. You know, I was reading that you guys did like 40 times the projected sales in your first month. You know, looking back at that, like, what was it that there was like the demand maybe that you did not expect? Like, how did you guys get out there so fast, like right off the races?
Yeah. Well, the first thing I'd say about that stat is that was in large part because our projections were just ridiculously, they were very conservative, right? Look, I think it's like one of these things that's the right idea at the right time, right? It was just like, you know, the world's increasingly stressed out. CBD as an ingredient, like, you know, I love this like Jeff Bezos quote. Like, I don't know much about the future other than that people are going to want things cheaper and faster, right? Mm-hmm. And like when I was thinking about Recess, even the most challenging times when I was building it, which again, I had zero experience building. I never even built a brand before. I never even worked in marketing, right? Never formulated a drink.
Yeah.
Right. What kept me going was like, I don't know anything about the future other than that it's going to be crazy, right? And that people would need to take a Recess, and that compounds that help people relax are going to become bigger, and the more time I spent in the CPG industry, I was like, the more I saw just a complete advantage to like my skill set of like being digital first, like how we think about brand building, like how we think about the category dynamics, like all of that. Like, I just, you know, I've just viewed as an asset, right? And so I think what hit is like it was the right idea at the right time, just executed right. Like, we got everything, like we focused on every single detail. right? Mm-hmm. From every word on the can, every word on the website, the Instagram strategy, and like, that's, it's about how all the details add up, right? I always would think about like Sweetgreen as a business, right? I was like, Sweetgreen wasn't the first place to do like quick service salads, right? It was just the first to do every single detail 10% better. And when you do every detail 10% better, that adds up to something that's like an order of magnitude better experience. And that ultimately wins, right? And that like the market, both consumers, investors, everyone recognize that. And I think that's kind of what happened here, in my opinion, is that like, I think we just, there's like a craftsmanship to recess between the, you know, the formula and all of that. And it's like all the people I was able to bring in to help me build this, because I hadn't done it before, right? But I was able to identify the right partners and people that could help me. And I think so much of being a founder is like identifying undervalued talent is probably one of the most important things, right? Everyone that worked on Recess was so undervalued, right? And across some dimension, right? There's all their first, many people built agencies off of it. Like there's many things like that. And so I think it was like the right idea, the right execution, and most importantly, bringing on the right partners to help me.
Awesome. Well, and I think also talk about timing, right?
Yeah.
Some of you guys set yourselves up perfectly for 2020.
Yeah. I would say, yeah, our tagline was an antidote to modern times. We definitely did not expect a global pandemic.
Yeah. Crazy. Well, listen, I appreciate you coming on the show and congrats on all the success so far. And, you know, excited to watch you guys continue to grow and crush it. And I'm a fan too. Got to tell you.
Great. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. Enjoyed the conversation. Hopefully we can do it again soon.
Awesome. Thanks, Ben.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.